If we're going to name it today, it would be anytime. Tell your neighbor, say anytime. Right. Anytime. Anytime you want to, God's willing. Anytime he calls you, we have to be willing. Amen? It's amazing how at times we want him, but anytime he wants us, sometimes we're busy. But I believe that anytime God calls, that we're going to have to be those that just go running. This is an anytime moment right now in America. It's an anytime moment in the world. I believe with all my heart, you know, that in any situation at any time, God has the power to come out of nowhere and do the supernatural. Do you agree? How do you think revival started? Somebody believed that this time, anytime, God shows up and the supernatural is going to happen. See, that's got to be an expectation in each one of our hearts. If you don't have that expectation, then you're not in faith, you're in doubt. And you think you still have to go to Wednesday night class and learn a whole lot more before God can use you. I want you to know God can use you right now. Right now. At any time when God shows up, the supernatural starts to take place. Do you believe that you and I are not the only ones here this morning? You see, the Bible says that there's double occupancy in here this morning. But you see, the issue is, do you believe that? Or do you sit there and just nod? Well, the rest of them are nodding, and I'm going to fit in. That's a good place to fit in, all right? Believing, because he's here. He's here right now. And his desire is the supernatural. He's not really interested in doing natural things. He's not interested in building a house. Ask Jesus. Foxes have dens, birds of the air have nests, but where does the Son of Man have to lay his head? Now, don't get me wrong. I like a nice warm house when it's 10 below. All right? So we're not saying go, you know, just go run around in the woods like Mark did when Jesus was being, when he was getting hauled away to be crucified. But I believe that this morning there's others that are here. I believe that he did give angels charge over us. That's what the scripture says. The question is, do you believe that? See, because if we believe that God is here and that he's given his angels charge, then any time God can do the supernatural. Any time. If we're in agreement. You know, we're the only ones. We're the only ones that every time we get together and we have a meeting, the founder of it all shows up. Isn't that incredible? Every time we get together, the King of Kings shows up. Every time. He doesn't skip a meeting. He doesn't get up in the morning and say, got to get them chicken wings ready for the playoff game. Oh, got a lot of people coming over today. He doesn't get up in the morning and say, oh, I shouldn't have watched them Beverly Hillbillies again late last night. He doesn't come up with any excuses. He always shows up when his kids come to give him glory and honor. Whether there's two or more, he said, I'm there with you. And he said, I'll never, ever leave. God doesn't run out of the meeting just because you didn't pray this morning. Isn't that good news? Yeah. Don't raise your hand if you didn't pray this morning, but he doesn't leave. God still comes, and he still wants to do the supernatural. And every time his word is read, the supernatural starts to take place, and our minds start to get renewed. What does it mean when he shows up? It means that at this moment, all things become possible. Right now. Right now, what you've been straining for, what you've been struggling for, what you've been trying to get rid of, something that's been hanging on you, or something you haven't stepped out to do because you've been holding back because you're nervous. Any time God is in the place, then the action comes and the supernatural takes place. All it takes, maybe something's been hanging on you. Right now, in his presence, that thing's got to go. All we got to do is speak to it. Amen? And I know that there's men and women in here. I'll look at the camera again. I know there's men and women in here that God has called you to do certain things and you've been holding back. But I want you to know, because he's here, he's the one that gives strength so that you can do the impossible. He's the one that says, don't be afraid any longer. Stop hanging on to what the world says you have to have in order to be a success. Success is not someplace we get to because of a bank account. You tell your neighbor, say, you are a success. Tell your other neighbor, say, you're there too. We don't want anybody feeling left out. You're a success because of you getting up this morning and saying, I'm going to give God glory and honor. Now, I don't know if everybody here knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We'll give you a chance at the end of the service if you don't. But I want you to know, when you come to Christ, you become a success. The minute you bow your knee and you say, Father, it's no longer about me, it's all for you. At that moment, success steps into your life and his name is Jesus. And everything changes. So it's not some place we're trying to get to, whoever has. It's who you are each and every day. And those decisions you make, you're a success now. You are not trying to be. How many walked in this morning and struggled to lift up their heads, struggled to come up with a kind word or a prophetic word? Thank God Miss Susanna grabbed the microphone and just started to prophesy a word over the church. That's what happens when we're free and God starts to move on our hearts. I know he gave more prophetic words. I'm not looking at the camera this time. I'm looking at y'all. Because we need those words. He gave them to you so that the body of Christ would be encouraged. He gave you the gifts that you have so that the body of Christ would be encouraged. He gave you the calling that you have so that the world would be transformed. He gave them for to you to use for his glory. Amen? Freedom from sin happens today. Freedom, because he's here. Freedom from sin happens here. What's going on in your head? Have the thoughts of sin been controlling you, consuming you? Have you made mistakes and therefore guilt and shame have come in? Listen, all of that starts today, right now, right here. That freedom comes when you believe he's here and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to wash it all away. That's what happens when he shows up. The supernatural happens because you can't wash away your own sins, only he can. And when you believe, everything starts to change in your life and in my life. We're in this together, amen? No matter what you've done, forgiveness is here in this place. Can you forgive yourself? It's hard. It's very hard. I want you to really dig deep in that thought. Can you forgive yourself today and never bring up another condemning word about yourself when you look in the mirror because of God's great love towards you? Can you look in the mirror and say, I'm done. I have no guilt. I have no shame. I'm never going to condemn myself again for what happened yesterday. Because that day is over. That life is over in the name of Jesus. But can you get up and look in the mirror and say, I'm all done. I'm free indeed. You want to talk about supernatural? It's probably one of the most supernatural things you could do every single morning. So many in the body of Christ walk out and believe that they have failed more than they have the victory in Jesus Christ. So many walk out and the devil beats them with yesterday. See, the one thing about tomorrow, the devil doesn't know what God's got in store for you tomorrow. God said, take care of today. Don't talk like you did yesterday. Get rid of the coarse jesting. Get rid of the foolishness. Right, if you're struggling with cursing, get rid of it. All right, all cursing does is tell everybody around you that you struggled getting out of eighth grade English. Isn't that true? That's what eighth graders do. I want to be a man, so I want to talk like a fool. If you want to be a man, then talk like Jesus. And let's let go of it, amen? If you need a healing today, it happens here. Because the supernatural happens in the house of God. If you're weak this morning, I want you to know there's joy here, and it makes you strong, no matter what you're going through. These are all the things that God's word, and it's anytime. Anytime we get together, the supernatural starts to happen. The issue is, do you believe it? See, I believe it. That's the reason why I'm standing here. The only reason I'm standing here is because the supernatural happened many, many, many times in my life. And every time where I thought it was over or something was going to go upside down or it was ending, all of a sudden God did something supernatural. It wasn't some act of man. It was something that God would speak in the early morning hour. It was something that would happen, and all of a sudden my eyes would get turned back towards Him. Over and over and over in our lives. Every time that the enemy comes, and when he comes in one way, God calls him to flee. How many? Seven ways. The enemy comes in one way, and God causes him to flee. Get out in the name of Jesus. And what God does is one miracle after another, and a word, and an encouragement, and all of these things start to happen to get our eyes back on Him. Amen? Anytime that the enemy comes, God always comes. God's already there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And every time that thought comes, He said, anytime you look to me, I'll destroy them thoughts.
That's right.
Anytime you look to me, I'm going to destroy the lie of the enemy over your life. If you will agree with me, freedom will come to your life. Sorry, there were just some thoughts that I had this morning. It's anytime you agree with Him, you win. Anytime you agree. Anytime you agree, you win. Tell your neighbor, say, you're a winner. Just look at your neighbor. Just sort of give them. They're winners too. They're winners too. If you have your Bibles, which I pray you do, turn to John chapter 8. I believe that we're in a season that God wants to do the miraculous through everyday lives all day long. I believe we're in that season. God's been desiring it from day one. But if we'll start to believe individually and as a body, we're going to start to see things transform before our very eyes. But we're going to have to let go of every yesterday, and we're going to have to say what He says. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now, if we're going to seriously assess our lives, and I'll look down right now, how many mornings last week did you not get in the word of God? And it's not about condemnation, please, hear my heart. It's about thinking about how we organize our lives. Right? This is all about organization of your life. Because if we're going to put our hands to something for a dollar bill, and yet we blow off reading the Word of God, we're saying, Lord, I am God. I'm my own disciple. I will do it my way. I can't be yours. I don't have time to be yours. I think the Johnsons demonstrated that this morning. Right? Marriage conference. We don't have time. I'm too busy. Too busy handing out food. Too busy doing things. I don't have time for you, Lord. We've got to get back to, because He said, if you abide in my word. His word. He didn't say if you abide in your thoughts. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. He didn't say if you abide in your desires. He didn't say if you abide in the world. He said if you abide in my word, if you get into my word, if you live in my word, if you allow my word to wash you, if you allow my word to cleanse you, everything starts to change. And in verse 32, He said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. How simple is that? Abide in my word, and I'll make you free. You show me somebody that's in bondage, and I'll show you somebody that's not in the word. It's that simple. Or somebody that maybe reads the word, but they don't believe the word. They believe what the teacher, their father, their mother, their grandfather, the tax man, whoever. They believe everything they say that's a negative connotation, but they don't believe the word of God and what he said. We've got to get back to casting everything else out and only standing on his word. Amen? He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides, he who lives in me, he who listens to me, he who loves me, he who hears my word, he who desires me, he who abides, he who has fellowship with me, and I in him, bears much fruit. So there's the next question. Does God lie? Right. Is his word true today? Right. He said, I'm the vine, you are the... Right. The only thing the branches are sustained by is by the vine. And then he said, whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. So we know whether we're abiding in Christ or not. Now, if you just got saved, different ball game, but if you've been in Christ, if we abide in him, we're going to bear fruit. Isn't that what the word said? Right. The body of Christ, our job is to bear fruit. So therefore, if we're going to sit in the word every morning and we're going to share the word, we're going to live out the word, fruit is going to happen in our lives. Because the word can't go forth and return void. Can we agree on that? It's impossible for that to go forth and return void. So therefore, that's where the calling comes in, the anointing on your life. You've got an anointing and your anointing, what does that do? It breaks every yoke. It breaks yokes. So when you walk in, you start to speak his word, yokes start to break in people's lives. If you walk in and speak your word, nothing happens. You have a friend for now. Did you ever have a friend that would lie for you? You know they'll lie against you, right? So therefore, when we get into where we start to abide in his, he's the vine, we're the branches, and we start to abide in him, we bear fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Well, we can still do things without God. The heathens are out there doing things, but they can't do anything worth doing. They're not doing eternal things, that's for sure. The only eternal thing they're doing is damnation is the only thing that's coming into their lives. They're setting themselves up for failure. Because like King David said, then I saw their end. And every single person on this planet that doesn't know Jesus Christ has the same end. Does that bother the church? Does that bother the church at all? That we walk past people every day, they're going to hell and we don't care. He goes on to say in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If or any time you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Once again, he's talking about being his sons and daughters or being his disciples. And he said, he's glorified when we bear much fruit. He's glorified when someone else's life has changed because he knows that when his sons and daughters, that he, tell your neighbor, say, he loves you. Just look at your other neighbor. He loves you too. He loves us with an everlasting love, a love that will never stop. A love that you can't, if you make your abode in Sheol, he said, my love for you is going to be the same. But that's a decision that you make. His love never ceases. He loves you so much that he wrote his word down so we could read it again and again and again and again. Because we have terrible memories, amen? So God wanted you to put it before your eyes again and again and again. He said, no, abide with me, abide with me, abide with me, abide with me, abide with me. Okay, 1 minute, Lord. No, abide with me. Yep. Just a second. He has to put it before our minds constantly. Abide with me. Yeah, but Lord, I got a lot of things, important things to do. He said, yes, abide in me. Spend time with me. Sit with me. I want to speak things to you that will change people's lives forever around you. I want to give you words of wisdom and words of deliverance and words of healing that are going to come in a heartbeat if you'll spend time with me. Because what I'm going to do is remind you of my word. He always puts us in remembrance of his word. Amen? And when his word goes forward, what happens? We bear fruit. Every time we put his word forth, every single time it starts to bear fruit. If there's no fruit happening in our lives, then are we putting forth his word? Is the church afraid to speak the word of God? Oh, the world wants you to be afraid. Tell your neighbor, say, I ain't scared. Right. Because if you ain't scared of speaking his word, you're going to have fruit. That's what God said. If you're going to be my disciple, you're going to produce fruit. My word's going to produce fruit. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter how you grew up. He said, if you're going to proclaim my words will produce fruit. It's just that simple. He didn't say, you know, if you just plant an apple seed, grapefruit's coming. He didn't say that. He said, if you plant my word, salvation's coming. Freedom is coming. Healing is coming. Deliverance is coming. What are we talking? When we get out of church, do we mention the name of Jesus Christ? Because if we're the branches, the only thing we're drawn from is that vine. And when we share his word and he abides in us, he said, hey, you're going to be my disciples when you speak my word. And when you speak my word, you're going to change everything in your area. Why do you think we have Dr. Ron coming in from Ohio to do our marriage conference? We didn't bring in Dr. Phil. There's a reason for that. Because we know that Dr. Ron is going to proclaim the word of God over every marriage. And therefore, every marriage has an opportunity to get stronger. I don't know about you, but I need my marriage getting stronger. 35 years, but it's going to get stronger by the power of God's word. Because I want to abide with him before I abide with her. And when I abide with him, then me and her get stronger. When I abide with him, then me and her and my children and my grandchildren, we all get stronger. Because when they come around, then the word of God is proclaimed. The word of God is the standard and more fruit comes. I wish some fruit would come today. My daughter-in-law Jenny hasn't had her baby yet. We even watched the kids on Friday night, hoping she would go. We'll watch them again tonight, hoping she'll go too. That poor little girl. Anytime. Right now. Sometimes the most explosive situations or opportunities are right under your nose. Isn't that incredible? How many times has the church missed it? Not us as individuals, but the church. How much of the church never got involved in the Azusa Street revival? They badmouthed the move of God. How many missed the Great Awakening, the first one, the second one? How many are sitting on the sidelines because they're too busy watching, I don't know, Dr. Phil? And they're going to miss the next great move of God because they're not listening, they're not abiding, they're not pressing into the things of God, so therefore they're not hearing what God is getting ready to do. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss a move of God. I want to be a part of the next move of God. I believe it's happening now. I don't think it's got to be starting someplace else. I think it can start right here. Right now, because when he's in the midst and the supernatural starts to happen, how many things does God want to do? And it's been right under your nose, right in front of your face, but we didn't listen. Some of the greatest opportunities that we've ever had. Sometimes your breakthrough is sitting right beside you. Sometimes the moment that defines the rest of your life is right now. Sometimes the moment that defines the rest of your life is right now. Not just salvation, but a decision. I'm going to be a branch plugged into the vine. Oh, don't go get carried away now. Don't be reading your Bible all the time and praying like a lunatic. Don't get like those people. That's when you just look at him and say, shut up. In the name of Jesus, with all love. Because I'm going to become more undignified than this. No matter where I walk, I want to become more undignified. I forget who it was. It was one guy. He was a reporter or whatever, journalist. And it was in the news the other day. Somebody told me about it. And he went in there and he started talking just conservative thoughts and processes. And he got thrown out of the restaurant because they said, your thoughts don't line up with ours. So get out, you and your friends. Thrown out for conservative views. It closed down for several days now because they're petrified. That's the place I want to go. If everybody else gets thrown out, it's too hot for everybody else. It's just right for us. Amen? Amen? Because when you walk in, the supernatural walks in. What are they going to say? You fruitcake Christians! Yeah. You wacko! Yeah. Yeah, how crazy is it to believe that you can preach God's word and His power is going to go into effect? You are a wacko! You are crazy! Pastor Fink used to say, we're all nuts, but we're screwed on the right bolt. And it's true. But most Christians are too afraid. There's very little fruit because they're afraid to open up their mouths in public. Tell your neighbor, say, not me. See, this week, we're going to be those branches that draw from the vine that proclaim His word, and then fruit's going to come. This week, we're going to be those that get up early, get in the Word of God, so we know how to think, we know how to pray, and then we're going to pray over our family, we're going to watch the supernatural happen. You see, when we do what He says, fruit comes. We start to bear fruit. And if there's ever a time right now, we've got to get away from me and mine. Me and mine, you are not bearing your fruit, you're bearing His. This is what He's called us to do. These are His kids. Maybe the devil's been at your heels all week. He even tried to stop you from worshiping this morning or praying or rejoicing. But every time the lion shows up, the enemy's got to leave. And I want you to know He showed up this morning. He's here in this place. And therefore, the enemy's got to go. The enemy has no authority when the lion walks in. None. Every time the Lord walks in, the enemy runs and screams like a little girl. Sorry, ladies. Strike that. Like a baby. Okay, they're all upstairs, so we don't have to apologize to them. Because they're stronger than He is. Amen. But if we'll grab a hold of the Word of God and remind ourselves, wait a minute, the Lion of the tribe of Judah walks in. Every time that I start to speak His Word, He fills the room. And therefore, freedom now comes into my life and the enemy has to leave. Every lie is destroyed by the power of His Word. Everything is destroyed by His power. He has to go. The enemy always loses. He cannot have your children or your marriage or your peace. The Lion of Judah is here, and that whimpering wimp has to go. He can't have him. See, the issue is, do you believe that? Yeah. Well, that's not been my experience, Pastor. Not yet, but it's coming. Well, I didn't see it. He didn't do it when I told him to. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I'm not going to church. That stuff doesn't work for me. So God's a liar. His word doesn't work. That's what we're saying. Yeah, but you know what? I'm sick of church. Dan offended me. You know what, Dan? I've had it. I'm out. I quit. I've had it with Dan. Between him and Mike, I don't know which one offended me worst. I don't know which one's worse, but I'm out. I'm giving up on God because of two men. How many people do you know aren't going to church because they got offended? Not by the pastor, but by people in the church. Miss Ann! She couldn't even hold herself back. Did you see that? She couldn't even. She's even covering her mouth. It's still coming out. But how many people do you know that are hurting, that are broken, that are upset because of somebody in the church or something happened? How about you go and preach the word of God to them and watch their lives be transformed by the power of God's loving you because you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Wherever his word is preached, then fruit comes. If we just went after those that left because they were upset, just ask your neighbor if they're upset and they're getting ready to leave. All right? If they're going to come back. If they're good, then we're good this week. But there's others that haven't. Maybe they went to a different church. I don't know what church they went to, but you know some that are laying on the shores of Christianity all busted up because they decided not to believe. They decided that some man or some woman had more authority over their lives than God. Please, don't give anybody that kind of authority. Don't give them. But if we're going to be disciples, we're going to have to produce fruit. It's not about trying to go out there, oh, I got to get somebody saved, or otherwise pastor's going to talk about me from the pulpit. That's not it. I just want you to go share his word, because his word is going to do the work. And whatever church they end up at, that's preaching the word of God, that's part of your fruit. It's not about here. It's about the kingdom of God advancing. Amen. His word doesn't return void. You know, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 11, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. I want you to know that when you forgave somebody, everything you had against them is dead. Your fear of stepping out, that's got to die. Joshua was getting ready to step out. He was afraid to step out and lead God's people. Tell your neighbor, say, that's not me.
Not me.
Right. See, if you're not afraid to lead God's people, then you're going to speak God's word into people's lives, and some are going to get offended. Tell your neighbor, say, give it a shot. I won't get offended. Yeah. But it's got to be God's word. Not yours. God's word. Right? But here, Joshua's getting ready to take over. And God said, hey, Moses is dead. I want you to know the lie of the enemy is dead over your life. That which has been controlling, that which you were worried about, what you were afraid of, it's dead. Because when the word of God comes in, it destroys the yokes. And he said, hey, listen, my Moses is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over to this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Once again, God's word doesn't return void. He said, I told Moses you'd have it, and I'm doing to you like I said to Moses. So God fulfilling his word once again. Amen. He said, if you call on the name of Jesus Christ, you shall be what?
Saved.
He didn't just say for the generation before us or the generation after us. He said for you. So if you're saved this morning, then you are free indeed. And that's what he said. He said it's going to be the same for you, your children, your children's children, as many as call on the name of the Lord, right? And even that baptism in the Holy Ghost. Pastor, don't bring that stuff up. People run out and start screaming and yelling like wild animals. One of them fruitcake churches. Crazy churches. But in the book of Acts, he said, it's for you, your children, your children's children. He says, for as many as call on the name of the Lord. I'm going to give you the power from my throne room. I'm not going to leave you powerless. I'm not going to leave you so that you just have to try to fend for yourself. I'm the one that fends for you. And even when you can't fend for yourself, that's when I come in and I even have my angels and I've given them charge over you. I made a way where there is no way that you could fail if you trust me. Isn't that amazing what God's done? No matter what he's called you to do, you can't fail. The Hassingers just sent me an opportunity. If anybody, I don't know, there's a ministry opportunity. Some people are leaving the mission field. They're retiring and then they don't have anybody to take over from their organization. They're looking for somebody to come and take it over. You know, we'd have to purchase the building or whatever and go over there and just reach out to people and build the kingdom of God. It's in the mountains, so in Jamaica. Yeah, don't all rush my office afterwards. Pastor, I felt God speaking to me. It was the word of the Lord. Me and my family, Pastor, you buy the building and my family and me, we'll go down there and live in Jamaica. Can I tell you, there's lots of ministry opportunities in your neighborhood. We don't have to go to Jamaica to preach the word of God. If you do want to go, hey, we'll help you. We don't care where you go preach the word of God, but you're going to have to go preach the word of God. It says in verse 4 or 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That's good news right there, ain't it? Isn't that good news? He didn't say, hey, because you go to Rock Solid Church, I'll be with you. He said, I want to be with you, and I'm going to stand with you, and I'm going to give you the territory that you live in. Wherever you walk, I'm going to give it all to you. All you have to do is agree with me. It's not because of somebody else. It's because of the promise that I made to you and your family. Man, that's good news. I promised you, and I'm able to make it work. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's good news. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. There's some more good news. If we believe it. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Ouch. God's not playing games. But look what he said. If you observe his word, right, you'll be prosperous and have good success. Just according to what's written. You don't have to be a genius to just read what's already written. You just got to read it and apply it. He said, you want to be strong? Not a problem. Read my word. You want to be prosperous? Not a problem. Read my word. You want to have good success? Not a problem. Read my word. You want to raise your children and knowing when they're old they don't depart? Not a problem. Trust my word. You want to have a strong marriage? Good. Read my word. You want to know what to do with your neighbor? Good. Read my word. Everything you need to be successful is in his word. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over the Jordan to go into the possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. He commanded them. God commanded them. He commanded Joshua. Joshua commanded his men. His men commanded the people. They weren't saying, hey, if you feel like it, hey, if you feel like serving, go ahead and serve somewhere in the church. It's not what he said. He said, if you're gonna walk with me, then you're going to serve. Because you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you got to become the greatest servant of all. Right? These are commands that God makes. He's telling these guys, who would want to go be the first ones to stick your foot in a raging river when it's overflowing to go across? He gave Moses that word. He didn't give it to the priests, but the priests put the ark on their shoulders and they walked down in that flood and they stepped into that river and that river stopped running. And then he told those priests, he said, take the presence of God, walk down and stand in the middle of the river. Stand in the middle? Can't we just stand here on the side? It already dried up. Isn't this good enough? He said, go stand in the middle. It won't take long. we only have to get 2.5 million people through. How long does that take? 2.5 million people walking past. Now, they weren't even allowed to get close to the presence of God. That was a half a mile ahead of them all the time. He said, I wanted a half a mile ahead so you can see the pillar of fire in the cloud. You know which direction we're going. You got to stay a half a mile away from that presence, away from that. Now you're going to walk right alongside of it. It's going to stand there and hold back the water, and you're going to walk through 2.5 million people. And then everybody goes out, and the priests say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he says, hey, stay there. Okay. See, I don't know where God's calling you. I don't know what he's going to ask you to do, but it might sound a little crazy. Everybody goes out of the river and you're supposed to stand there. Maybe everybody said, hey, that area you live in is too dark. It's no good. It's a waste of time. Those people, forget about it. Everybody's tried. They're hard. They're mean. Don't stand there. Don't go there. But God told you to go and stand. He said, that's where I want you. I want you in the darkest place there is because I'm going to make a way. And there's going to be all kinds of people that are going to walk past you. But I want you to stand. And then he told one of each of the 12 tribes, go get a stone. He said, because I want everybody to remember what I'm able to do. You know, I would encourage every family here, go get some stones in your yard. Get big ones. Get big stones and start to put every miracle God did and start putting one after another. Remind your children what God has done. The day that he saved you, the day that he set you free, the day that he changed your life, the day that he healed you, the day that your spouse got saved, the day that your children gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Start building a memorial so that everybody that looks at it, they say, what are you doing with that pile of stone on your dining room table? No, don't put it there. Your wife will have a fit. But to build it outside. See, God wanted them to remember all the miracles that he did. How quickly we forget all the beautiful things that God has done. Right? I think about back in the 70s, my mom getting saved. Is that the 60s or the 40s or the 20s? Or when did you get saved, Mom? She's so beautiful. She gets saved and goes to a Bible study and just starts praying. None of us were walking for the Lord. She said, I'll have what the Word of God says. She didn't say, when my husband does it all right, thank you, Jesus. She just said, I know that God's going to hear and answer my cry. And then sometimes she was weak, so God sent Kathy and some other ladies alongside of her, held her arms up, waiting. Waiting. Reminding God of what he promised. You said my whole family will be saved. She wouldn't stop. She'll be 82 this month. Happy birthday, Mom. Just so I don't forget, because you know how I am. She'll be 82. She's still standing on the promises of God. She's not moving from them because she said, I know his word is true. I know he's still going to do it. There's no doubt. I don't care what I see. I don't care how I feel. I know the miraculous happens every day when I agree with the word of God. And I want you to know that's what your family, that's what you're doing for your family. Doesn't matter what they look like. Doesn't matter how they act. Doesn't matter what they have. None of that matters about yesterday. Today, you say, my God is a miracle working God. My God's word. I'm going to stand. I'm going to abide in my God. I'm going to get in the word. I'm going to get in prayer. And I'm going to hear what he has to say. And then I'm going to talk to whoever he puts in my path. Maybe you're not the answer for your family. Maybe it's somebody else. Probably. Because you said everything that could be said to your family. Right, Nick? And your family looks at you, yeah, whatever. They've been hearing this for 20 years from you. And then somebody else says, you know, God loves you. Really? He does? Yeah, you need Jesus. Okay. It's funny how God uses different people in our families. The faithful, fervent prayers of a righteous man or woman, what? Availeth much. He's in this place. He's in this place. It's a place of miracles. When a lion comes, the liar has to leave. And I believe the lion's on your side. Amen? Stand up this morning. Tell your neighbors, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Tell your other neighbors, as for you and your house, you're going to serve the Lord. Yeah, just encouraging one another. Listen, if you know somebody's weak in here, get alongside them and say, hey, can we spend some time in prayer? Hey, you want to come to the house for dinner? Well, yes, now that, thank God, the fast is over. You know, the children of Israel did what Joshua told them to do. And it happened as the Lord said. Every one of their enemies were vanquished. I believe that God wants to vanquish every one of your enemies. He's been nipping at your heel, but God wants them out of there. But he needs you to spend some time with him. When the children of Israel landed on the other side of the Jordan, the enemy was defeated before the first battle. Remember what happened when the spies went into Jericho? What'd Rahab say? Oh, nobody has any thoughts of winning against you guys. Can I tell you, when you stand with God, no matter how big the enemy is, maybe it's a family member who's been standing for a long time, but before they even fought, fear came over everybody and they knew they were defeated. They already knew they were defeated. The enemy in your family knows he's already defeated when you stand strong. The enemy at your job already knows he can do nothing. And I remember, and I know we said this before, but I remember when some of the witches and the warlocks that are in the occult, they said the most wonderful thing about the church is they don't understand the power they possess. They don't know what happens when they pray in the name of Jesus Christ. They don't see what happens. And we don't see it because we don't abide. But when we abide, we start to see what God does. And when you start to see what God is doing, you start to abide a lot more. You start to speak it a lot more. You start to worship a lot more. And then you start to see a lot more. It's just the way it works. They said, oh yeah, when you come, we can see the Christ in you. We see the power of God in you. You don't. And when you walk on by and nothing happens, we're like, oh, they're clueless. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know who possesses them. It's time we figured out who possessed us. It's time the church figured out who empowers them and how much power each one has. Tell your neighbor, say, you're powerful. Tell your other neighbor, say, you're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Did you say anything? I saw you smile. Did you? Okay, just checking. She was going back and forth between my wife and her sister. It's who you are. You walk out of here, we're going to abide in him and in his word. And then we're going to start to see what God does through the power of his word. Through you. Through you. Every single one in here. You lack nothing to change the world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the men and women of God in this house. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have changed our lives forever. I thank you, Father, for the peace that rules in our hearts, because yesterday is done. And Lord, you've forgiven us today. You've washed us again with the power of your love through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, all things have been made new today according to your word. It's a day where the scales have fallen off our eyes and our ears can hear again of what your spirit is getting ready to do. Lord, we want to abide with you so that our thoughts are about you. Our desire is you and you alone. Your word is what we hide in our hearts. And Lord, your word is what flows out of our mouths. Your plan, your call is the greatest desire in our lives. Father, we agree that we're supernatural people, being led by a supernatural God through the power of a supernatural Holy Ghost, where everything supernatural becomes natural for us. And Father, I pray that every eye would be able to see. Tonight when we lay down, you said there'd be dreams and visions. Lord, let us see tonight the plan you have for tomorrow. You said tomorrow, oh, wait till I show you how I'm going to use you tomorrow. Lord, and I pray that we would give time for you tomorrow. We wouldn't fill up our day with all the silliness, but we would fill it up with your word and with your love. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know He loves you dearly. It's an amazing life that God gives us. We had all at one time walked in darkness, and yet now we walk in His marvelous light. Now we walk as those that are free. Now we walk as those that are not as, but we walk free men and women. We walk powerful. We walk according to His plan. And if you felt ostracized and cast aside, maybe you felt fearful and you say, I don't know what I'm getting into. You're getting into a river that never runs dry. You're getting into a relationship of one who never cheats on you. You're getting into a relationship where His word is always good. You're getting into a relationship with a God who always meets the need. You're getting into a relationship with one who always loves and has mercy and grace in your life. You're getting into a relationship with one that never turns his back on you. You're getting into a relationship with one who has already gone ahead of you and prepared an eternal salvation or eternal place of rest. You're getting involved with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're getting involved with Him who is the Almighty. You're getting involved in a relationship with someone who, when you're so weak, picks you up and carries you all the way through. That's the relationship of a Christian or a man or a woman with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're getting involved in a relationship of someone who's already died for you and showed your value.